So as we come together this morning to worship, we're going to just reflect again as we have, because we're not allowed to sing, just to reflect on those powerful words contained in our hymns as they come in our service. And our first hymn today is hymn one, the hymn that tells us that it came upon the midnight clear. Our service this morning, the service of Holy Communion, we pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us. And write these, your laws, in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we respond to God's forgiveness as we hear the words of Gloria, Gloria. Our special collect prayer for today, the first Sunday of Christmas. Almighty God, who wonderfully created us in your own image, and yet more wonderfully restored us through your Son, Jesus Christ, grant that as he came to share in our humanity, so we may share the life of his divinity, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The epistle is written in the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians in the fourth chapter, beginning at the fourth verse. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Here ends our epistle reading. The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. Luke in the second chapter, beginning at the 15th verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. One of the wonderful messages of the Christmas season is not that we had to go up to find God, but that he came down to seek us out. Our next hymn is "Love Came Down at Christmas."
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As we prepare to enter a new year in this coming week, David, our bishop, has a message that he wants to share with the whole diocese next Sunday. And so I just thought that I would take the opportunity this morning to reflect on a few familiar words from Luke's Gospel and to suggest four, I suppose, quite personal aspirations for our church in the year that is to come, and then see if they may resonate with you or not. And I'm very conscious in all of this that we will continue to have to do things differently in the light of the pandemic for quite some time. And how we go about fulfilling these aspirations will be something that we constantly need to review. But the anticipation of a new year is usually marked by celebrations and parties and get-togethers with family and friends. And of course, the restrictions mean that we can't do these things in the same way this year. But looking ahead to 2020-21, as we tune into this service either here in person or at home, my suspicion is we probably have different hopes and aspirations for the year that is to come. So let's see what we can learn from these few verses in the immediate aftermath of Jesus' birth as good news is shared with the shepherds. The first instinct, as the shepherds hear from the angels news of Jesus' birth, is that they want to go to see for themselves the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told them about. And so we see immediately a real sense of expectation and anticipation that going to Bethlehem will be a life-changing event for them. And I suppose in the same spirit, I really long in this year ahead that worship in our church will be a life-changing experience for people. And I hope that whether they're here in the building in person, or they're tuning in at home, or they are participating perhaps in things like Alpha or Messy Church online, those who come with a sense sometimes of hopelessness or despair will find love and acceptance through our church community, and that we will expect the scriptures to speak into our lives and our situation and meet with God in a real and living way. That everything from the way that we engage with our hymns and songs, even if we're not allowed to sing at the present time, and the way that we're welcomed, the way that our children are taught, probably for another while longer online in Sunday school or Messy Church, and all the prayers that are prayed in our church will really connect with our hearts and enable Jesus to come alive in a fresh way for us. So what I long for in the first instance in 2021 is this spirit of anticipation which the shepherds brought to the news of Jesus' birth. The second thing that I long for in my own life and the life of the church is also found in the shepherds. We're told that when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. In other words, the shepherds were able to share their faith in a natural way with those around them. And in an era when church attendance is plummeting, and children in particular are often absent from our churches, what a wonderful thing it would be to be able just to talk about our faith and to invite our friends to either church services or Sunday school, either here in the building or online, just as naturally as we would have in the old days invited people maybe to a cafe or a restaurant, or to speak of our experience of God as easily as we do about the weather or sporting events or current affairs. In other words, it would be wonderful in 2021 to share very simply and naturally the truths that we have experienced in Jesus with others, and enable them to discover the joy and peace that he brings to life when we invite him to share it with us. And that's why we've been trying, particularly during this pandemic, to share and encourage people to participate in events like the Alpha Course. The third thing that I would love to see in my own life and in the church's life in 2021 is found in the life of Mary, Jesus' mother. We're told that she treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And what that says to me is that it would be really good for all of us to live 2021 in a mindful way, conscious of God's part and his place in our lives. And God's part is indeed to be a central place, and that we would live prayerfully and reflectively in the light of his presence and the light of his word in all that we say and do. So often we get so busy and distracted that Jesus is not given even a casual thought during the day as we fly from one thing to another. So let's ponder daily his place in our lives and give him our attention. The last thing that I long to see for myself and the church in 2021 is to be found in the lives of the shepherds again, as we're told that they returned from Bethlehem, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. What an incredible, powerful thing it is when we see people living lives of gratitude and praise. So often, we're glass half-empty people. We see all the negatives and we listen to the criticisms and we fail to see beyond them. And it's a wonderful thing in the year that is to come to anticipate the rolling out of a vaccination program. And yet the present reality of living in the shadow of this virus is undoubtedly so, so difficult for many people. But can we recognize God's goodness and praise him even if our circumstances are challenging as we begin this year? So let's see if we can be a people of anticipation in our worship and our gatherings, providing that space for God to meet with us. Let's seek to share our faith and our experiences naturally in everyday life. Let's reflect on our spiritual lives and live our lives full of thanksgiving and praise. I believe it would certainly be quite a magnet to those around us if we could do these things. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. We pray for your church throughout the world, for this diocese, and for David, our bishop. And on this last Sunday of 2020, we pray especially for Christians who are persecuted for their faith. We pray for those who face rejection from their families and community if they follow Jesus. For those who are in prison or even targeted for death, we pray for them for courage, for inner strength, and for a deep sense of your presence with them. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world. And as we give thanks today for the negotiation of a post-Brexit trade deal, we want to pray for future relations between the European Union and Great Britain. And we pray that those relationships would be cordial and cooperative, and that all the divisions and challenges of recent years would be healed. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And we pray today for all who are finding this time of the year particularly difficult. We pray for families unable to be together due to the restrictions, and for those feeling the pain of estrangement. We pray too for those facing this new year without work or having to rebuild a business, and those whose businesses need to remain closed over these next 6 weeks. So we pray for all with financial worries and health concerns, and all who are grieving the loss of a loved one. We pray especially today for Liz Walker and the family circle as they mourn the death of her sister. We pray, Lord, that you would surround the family with your comfort and strength in their great loss. Lord, in your mercy. And in a quiet moment, let's bring to God any who are particularly on our minds and in our thoughts as we come to church today. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Our hymn, Unto Us Is Born a Son. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus,
you are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. And just a little reminder to everybody, if you haven't been here since we have reopened, that when we have Holy Communion, it will be brought to you in your seat, in one kind only, in bread. And if you don't wish to receive, if you just make a signal to me that you'd rather not receive, please make that known to me as I come to you with Holy Communion today. And so we are invited today to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and to remember that he died for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith. With thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, you have refreshed us with this heavenly sacrament. As your Son came to live among us, grant us grace to live our lives united in love and obedience as those who long to live with him in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And may the joy of the angels, the wonder of the shepherds, and the peace of the Christ child fill your hearts and homes this Christmas time. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you today and always. Amen. Our closing hymn today, Lord, you are rich beyond all splendor.